Thank you for joining us for this online version of Pastor Randy Johnson's sermon from Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We pray this message will impact your life and challenge you to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
We're so thankful that as we come together to worship and to celebrate around the Lord's Supper table, that we should all have that same theme in our heart. That for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And we're saved not by what we do, but what He has already done for us. I want you to imagine today, here we are on the heels of 2 weeks of thinking about and celebrating the passion of the Lord Jesus. His coming into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, being worshipped, all the palm branches, riding in on a donkey, hearing all of the sounds of a happy crowd. And then just a few days later, sitting with the disciples, teaching them about this new covenant, teaching them about the sacrifice that He was about to make for them, taking bread and taking a cup. And then just a few hours later, going down this journey, this process of praying in the garden and being betrayed by Judas, being arrested, then being beaten, a crown put upon His head of thorns, nails in His hands and His feet, crucified in front of many, putting His body in a tomb. 3 days later, Jesus walking out of that tomb, the glorified body. 40 days later, ascending into heaven and sending the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And I want you to imagine that what we're doing today in participating and celebrating around the Lord's table with this bread and with this cup, I want you to imagine that this is the first time that the disciples are participating in the Lord's Supper after all of those events. Because Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we do this to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Now, the disciples, even when Jesus was there, right before He ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, they wanted to know, well, when are You coming back? When is He going to come back? When is Jesus coming back to fulfill all those promises? But I want us to envision, I want us to imagine that this is the very first time that we as the disciples are participating with the Lord's Supper and celebrating and remembering His death until He comes. How would they feel? What would their reaction be to all of these thoughts, all of these emotions, and all of this time of worship? I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. As we walk through the passage of Scripture that Jesus led the disciples in understanding what the Lord's Supper was all about. But you know, if you are a disciple, and this is the very first time that you're participating in the Lord's Supper, get that in your mind and think about that for just a moment. Think about the pressure that you would feel on yourself as a believer. Think about yourself and the pressure and the responsibility that Jesus has given you. Now that you've received the Holy Spirit and you're remembering the Lord's death until He comes, He's given you this great commission, this charge to take the gospel to the world, and you're doing this as a proclamation of your faith, and you're remembering His sacrifice. What's your response? What are you thinking and what are you feeling? You know, the disciples couldn't just go along with how things had always been the last 3.5 years or so. Things had always been Jesus in the spotlight. We're just kind of back here in the background. Yeah, we're the 12. We're just kind of hanging out, you know, and Jesus is doing all the healing. And He's doing all the teaching, and He's doing all the stuff. But then He died, and then He was buried, and now He rose, and He's in the spotlight again, and now He says, okay, it's your turn to go. It's your turn to proclaim and to take the message to people. Does something have to change in your daily routine? Does something have to change in your life? Something have to maybe change in your head and in your heart? You see, with the disciples, and what I hope that we can accomplish today, is there had to be some kind of what you might call a holy or a spiritual discontent. A holy discontentment where you are spiritually unsatisfied with where you are, perhaps as a Christian. And you think about, okay, I'm here. I'm in this particular place in my Christian life, and I know I'm not all that I should be. I know I don't read the Word like I should, or pray as faithfully as I should, or share my faith as faithfully as I should. And I know there are some basic things in my life, and I do some of them sometimes, and some of them I don't do sometimes. And here's just where I am. If I'm going to take this great commission, this message that Jesus has literally dropped in my lap and written on my heart, if I'm going to live out the faithfulness found in this Lord's Supper, can I do it the way that I am? Or is there some kind of a holy discontentment, some spiritual gnawing inside of me that says, you know, if you're really going to be faithful as a Christian, as a family, as a church, maybe you need to do a little self-evaluation and say, you know, I'm not all that I should be. I'm not exactly where I need to be as a Christian, as a leader, as a husband, or as a father, as a mother, as an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, as a church member, as a leader in our church ministry. I'm just not where I ought to be. If I'm going to be faithful, to not just to participate in remembering, but if I'm going to be faithful to take this message that Jesus has dropped in my lap and written on my heart to a lost and dying world, some things are going to have to change. And that we might call that holy discontent. You see, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 said that before we participate in the Lord's Supper, that each person should take a little time to do a self-evaluation, to look deep inside themselves and to find if there's anything that perhaps we need to confess to God. Maybe a moment where we spiritually look at ourselves in the mirror and say, God, I'm not all that I should be. I'm trying to hide this. I'm trying to make up for that. I'm trying to pretend that this doesn't exist. And God, before I remember what Jesus has done for me, and before I respond before you with all that you're calling me to be faithful to do, I need to confess a few things. I need to share, and I need to examine myself. And so we're going to spend some time doing just that, to maybe create in our fellowship this morning that spiritual discontentment, that spiritual unhappiness that says, you know, I'm not okay with just being okay. I'm not fine with just making it and just barely getting by. I want to be all that God wants me to be. And to carry out this great commission, that needs to start today. During this time of examination, there's one basic question that all of us need to ask, and that is, am I part of the family of God because I've been born again and followed the Lord in believer's baptism? If you have, and if you are born again, and you have come to faith and trust in Christ and have been born again, then this time of remembering Christ's sacrifice is for you to participate in. When the bread is passed, you take a piece. When the cup is passed, then you take one. And you remember what God has done for you through Christ Jesus. If you've not been born again and followed in believer's baptism, then just let the bread go by and let the cup go by and hear the words of Jesus tell you what that's all about. And then when this service comes to a close and the invitation is given, that's a time for you as someone that needs to be born again and needs to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, then you can respond at that point and give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and know what it means to carry out that which God has done for us through Christ. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Let's just bow our heads for a few moments. And I'll conclude our time of examination in prayer after we've had time to just let the Lord examine our hearts. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you today, God, that those of us that are born again are simply sinners that have been saved by your grace. We've been born again by your Holy Spirit, and we bowed our knee to the Lordship of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for our sins. Father, may today we glorify you by remembering what Jesus has done for us. And Father, in response, may we take that message, that gospel truth, to a world that needs to know that Jesus Christ is the only way that they can have forgiveness of their sins. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus had instructed the disciples to be ready to participate in this Passover meal, in this Last Supper with them. And you notice that beginning in verse 26, the Bible says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Jesus taught them to do that in remembrance of him, in remembrance of his giving of his own body. The first thing I want to ask you is, are you willing to, first of all, as Jesus did, deny yourself? Are you willing? Just ask yourself today, am I willing to deny myself the way that Jesus denied himself for me? Jesus laid aside his own privileges. He laid aside his own protection, laid aside his own safety to put his body at risk to be beaten and to be bruised and to be ripped apart and to be crucified. And Jesus took this bread as a symbol of his body and said, "This is my body, which is for you. I've allowed myself to be broken for you. Do this, take this, participate in my body." You see, if we're going to take this bread, we're not just remembering, we're participating. We are part, now the Bible says, as born again children of God, we are part of the body of Christ. And if Christ allowed his body to be broken for us, then we must be willing to deny ourselves and lay down ourselves for him. Go out of our way to minister to others. Allow our physical bodies and our personal protection and our personal safety to be put at risk at the sake of taking the gospel to people that don't know him. See, if Jesus was only concerned about protecting himself, he never would have allowed his body to be broken for us. But because he knew that the only way that we could have eternal life is for him to allow himself to be broken and ripped apart to pay the penalty for our sin, and he said, "This bread is my body, and it is broken for you." Sometimes we are so content to just do those things for Christ as long as they don't cost anything. As long as they don't interrupt our daily schedules, as long as it doesn't hurt me or cost me anything. Our salvation cost Jesus everything. And so in response, as a disciple taking this bread for the very first time, as Jesus ascended into heaven and I'm taking the gospel to the world, am I willing to not only remember the broken body, but to deny myself that my body might be broken for the benefit of others? You've heard me say it many, many times. Being a part of the body of Christ, it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's all about Him. And if we're to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, we must allow our bodies to be broken. We must be willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. And so as we, guys, if you would rise, as we remember the Lord's broken body through this little piece of bread, when you receive yours, remember that this bread, as small and insignificant as it may seem, is a symbol and a picture of Christ's broken body for you. Also, think of it as your body being broken for Him, laying down yourself, sacrificing your own personal safety for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and thank the Lord for His body being broken for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for giving us Your one and only Son, God in the flesh, living, breathing, ministering, healing, and teaching, but ultimately dying, and allowing Himself to be broken for us. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your willingness to give of Yourself. Father, may we in response be willing to deny ourselves and give all that we have for the sake of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a small, insignificant piece. You think about the body of Christ being broken. We each take a piece. We each are a piece of and a part of the body of Christ. And Jesus symbolically allowed His body to be broken, but He showed that in taking of the bread. But He also called the disciples to be willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him. And I want to ask myself, am I willing to deny myself and to put my life on the line for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember Jesus' sacrifice. Oftentimes we fail to remember and to place significance on the sacrifice that we're willing to make. Jesus did not just allow His body to be broken for us and physically take a beating, but He allowed Himself to be poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Am I willing to deny myself is the first question. The second question I want to ask you is, are you willing to give yourself? You see, Jesus allowed His blood to be poured out, which meant His life would have to end. His heart would no longer beat, that His lungs would no longer breathe, that His physical body would stop and shut down, because He allowed Himself to not just be broken and beaten, but He poured His life out for the life of others, that we might have eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. And I want to ask you today, are you willing to give everything of yourself to Him? So, Pastor, that's an awfully big sacrifice you're asking. Oh, I don't mind to do this little thing or go out of my way of this little thing. I don't mind to do little bitty things every now and then, but to give everything I have? That seems a little extreme. Ask Jesus what's extreme. What's extreme is for a perfectly holy God to leave the glory of heaven, to be born in the most humiliating, humbling circumstances, to be raised as a carpenter, to have no home, to have no money, to just wander from place to place as the eternal Son of God in the flesh, and have no place to lay his head, to be betrayed even by those in whom he handed the gospel to have everyone run away from him, to be left even to pray alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, to be overcome with grief so much that sweat was blood coming off of him. He gave everything he had in being beaten and abused and crucified, and then said, "Father, it is finished." And gave everything for you and for me. That's extreme. And now here Jesus has dropped the gospel message in the laps of these disciples, and it is up to them to take that message of truth. And he's asking them, are you willing to give yourself? Matthew chapter 26, it says, verse 27, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You see, we are in that in-between time. Jesus gave them the cup and said, "Drink of it and continue remembering and giving and going and serving and telling until I come again." And we must ask ourselves, am I willing to give everything for the sake of the one who gave everything for me? Let's go to the Lord together in prayer and thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the tremendous sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who died in our place and for our sins, and gave everything that we might receive eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins and have a relationship with you eternally. God, may we in response be willing to give all that we have for the sake of the gospel, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I willing to pour my life out as an offering for God? Give all that I have, all that I am for him. And leave nothing for me, but offer everything for his glory. Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Because Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I watched a documentary not that long ago made by National Geographic. It was on North Korea. And I watched it really because of all of the recent events of what's happening in North Korea. And this gave a little background, a little insight into that particular country. They don't like Americans to come in. They certainly don't appreciate film crews coming in and making movies or documentaries about how they live and the way that they are. But there was an eye surgeon who was performing LASIK-type surgeries and cataract removal-type surgeries to help people who were born blind or had significant sight loss, and over the period of many days would not only perform several surgeries, but would have their eyes heal and then take the covers off. Well, one of the things that the documentary showed is that in everybody's home, and all over the country, they had all of these pictures of their great leader, his father, and now the current leader. No family pictures, no scenery pictures, just pictures of his face, or maybe him on a big white horse. Just all kinds of pictures. That's what everybody liked. That's what they looked at. That's what they appreciated. In this little clinic, they had all these people bandaged up and had these huge patches on their eyes. And toward the end of the documentary became the big revelation of whether or not this surgery would work. So they went up to this one lady who had been born blind and started to unwrap these things off of her eyes. They went up to this young lady who was probably in her early 20s who was born blind, and her father was there sitting next to her, and they had to sit there for hours upon hours to wait for this one doctor to come in. He had performed literally 1,000 surgeries in this one town. This little girl, young lady, was sitting there, and they unwrapped the bandages, and they took the things off of her eyes, and her father was standing there, and he said, "Can you see me?" And she started to cry. And she said, "Yes, Daddy, yes, I can see you. I can see, and now I can see." And the first words out of his mouth was, "Let's thank our great leader in North Korea. Let's go to the picture and thank him and praise him." And with tears streaming down their eyes, they go to the front of this medical facility where two pictures hang, one of the father and one of the current leader, and they're singing and they're yelling and everybody's clapping, "Thank you, praise you." And the father says, "This sight has been recovered all because of our great leader. Praise him, praise him." I picked my jaw up off the floor and I thought, how sad that people would praise a picture of someone who has no power and authority to open someone's eyes when we have the gospel message of the only one who can heal and the only one who can save, because we sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see." You realize that God has given you the gift of salvation and has called you to take that message to people whose eyes are blind. And unless you allow your body to be broken, unless you allow your life to be poured out for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are people that are going to stay in spiritual darkness. And it's time for us to have a holy discontent with just getting by. See, a moment ago I said that some of you need to let the plates pass and the cups pass because you know that you've never been born again. You've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you're part of another religion growing up, or maybe just didn't go to church much at all. And you see all of these things and you hear all of this stuff, and it all kind of makes sense, but yet you don't know, what do I need to do? What's my response? What do I do because of all this? Friend, the only thing you can do is come to Jesus Christ and say, "I am a sinner in need of your grace. I trust in you. I give you my life." If you've been born again and you've never been baptized, you've never followed the Lord in obedience and baptism, Then in just a moment we stand and sing. If you need to be saved, if you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, there's going to be ministers of the gospel here to receive you, talk to you, pray with you, and today you can be born again, and today you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. And you can give everything you have for Him in response to everything that He gave for you. Or if you need to follow the Lord in obedience and baptism, you've already received that great gift of God's grace, but you've never followed through in baptism, then today is the day to make that your public profession of faith and begin living a life as a witness for Jesus Christ, unashamed to tell anybody and everybody what He's done for you. Maybe as an individual, as a home, as a church, we need to just say collectively together, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to give everything I have, all that I am, to the one who gave everything to me. Would you stand with me? As we have our time of invitation, we're going to sing a special song that's going to lead us in this time. And if you have a decision to make for Jesus Christ, today is the day to make that decision, to make it public, to share it with this church family so we can rejoice. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't just stand there. You come while we sing during this time. This is for you. This time of invitation is for you to respond however God is leading you to make that decision. You come while we sing.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Randy Johnson. If you have questions and you desire to speak with someone about what you've heard, please contact us at 225-272-3740 or via our website at www.fbbc.org. If you are in the Baton Rouge area, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:15. Come learn how to be a disciple and make disciples.